Book of Romans tonight. I won't get you to stand because I'm going to ramble a little bit. Book of Romans, chapter 12. I want to try to mind the Lord and ask God to send us that of what we need tonight through His book. I'm glad we still got a book and a story to tell. Pray for some of our families. I've had about three families call tonight, couldn't get here. Pray for them. God would reach them. And God would keep them safe. Father, we thank You for Jesus tonight. God, and what You've done for us in this ministry. Lord, You've been so good to us. And I want to thank You for that tonight. I want to thank You, God, for the folks that are here. God, the ones that set this time aside to come. I'd ask, Lord, that You would plant something in their heart tonight. God, may we say something that would be a blessing. God, I pray for those that couldn't be here, that want to be, that God, You'd help them tonight. I pray for Brother Caudill, as Lord, he goes to Canada next week. God, You'd help him and hedge him in. I pray for all of our preachers here tonight, our teachers, our lay people, our good members. I pray for them. And God, I pray out there at that prison ministry that You'd get the honor and the glory. And God, You'd lead Brother Joe. And God, You would reach souls for Your good name. Help us tonight in Your Word. God, I'm a needy preacher tonight. I stand in this place. I feel so insufficient. God, so inadequate. God, just by Your marvelous grace do I get to be here tonight. But I want to thank You for that. I could be in hell one day You saved me. And I want to thank You, Lord. Thank You for calling me to preach the glorious gospel. Help us now. Would You illuminate Your Word and anoint me Your servant. I need You, O Holy Ghost, tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. In your Bibles, the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Paul is writing now, and he's got a lot to say in the book of Romans. And he said, I beseech you, or first of all, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, when we leave here, God don't stay in this building. God inhabits His children. And so, this now, the tabernacle that God lives in, is our body. And He said we ought to provide it as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I believe we ought to try to take care of this vessel the best way that we can. I realize a lot of people's got issues with tobacco and other things, but there's a lot of things that really destroy this body, I think, that we could have a better quality of life that if we would take care of what God has given us. Amen. And so He says, I need you to present your bodies. In other words, if we'll just give it to Him, we have an option. Now, you can destroy your body by the things of the world. I wished a thousand times over that I'd have got saved at about 12, 14 years old. And it got me off the road that I was headed in because I got scars on me tonight I wished I didn't have. But I tell you one thing I can do. I can preach out of my scars tonight and tell you this, that Jesus saves. And Jesus does save old sinners, and He does change old dope heads. I know He does tonight. Amen. And so I thank God. But He says, if you just present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, I'm not asking too much out of you to give your body to me. He said, matter of fact, He said, I gave my body first for you. And He said, it's really not unreasonable that I'd ask you to take care of yours and to know how to possess your vessel and to be separated. Let it be a sacrifice and let it be holy. You know, we don't hear much in Baptist churches no more about holiness. But the Bible still teaches holiness. And so in verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be put in their mold. Can you believe where our country is tonight? Be not conformed to this world. It's amazing. They're talking about, man, now this is a momentous time. The first black man's got a chance of being president. Well, wonderful. He's half white and half black. Why aren't they saying it's wonderful that a half white man's going to be president? Talk about racists. My goodness, I mean, people's on the band. Just look, and then we're going to kick Hillary in and get them 17 million votes voted for her. And so all that liberal crowd then, I mean, we're just in a mess. We're just in a mess. All we can say is, dear God, we need mercy in America. And so I'm going to tell you, ain't no white man, ain't no black man going to cure America. Ain't Miss Hillary going to cure America. Only God can help America. I'm not a racist tonight. I'm not a racist. I just get tired of people on their soapbox that don't even know what they're talking about. And so he says, don't be conformed to this world, to that crowd. He said, y'all not even fit in. It makes me so mad every time I watch the 5 o'clock news. I get in trouble then preaching. It's amazing what people believe and what they're thinking. And I mean, some people just need to get a job. Amen?
Amen.
Be not conformed to this world. Don't let them suck you in the mold and its pattern. And most churches tonight, they look the same on the inside as it does on the outside.
Yep. Yep.
Don't be conformed to their mold, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and the acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, aren't you glad we know a little bit about that tonight? Grace came our way and God gave us grace. Oh, you're here tonight because of one thing, grace. Thank God for grace. And then he said, through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think. Well, we could stop there a little while and put a dime in the parking meter. And then he said, but think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Ain't you glad that one day the Holy Ghost come by and give you some faith? And so the Bible said that he's dealt to every man the measure of faith. People will die and go to hell in their sins and trespass against the blood of the old rugged cross. God's given every man enough faith to be saved tonight. And boy, I tell you, I'm glad faith come my way one day. And I got on that vehicle of faith. And I'm a riding on toward glory land world tonight. And so he says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, or they don't all have the same function. Ain't you glad of that? Boy, I'm glad we don't have 10 thumbs on our hand. So we being many are one body in Christ. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, it takes all to make it up, don't it? And every one members one of another. That's, boy, you know, God is amazed in the way He put things together. God adds everything exactly the way we need. You know, a lot of times we think, well, we don't need that least member that don't say much. And you know something? This old elbow don't say a whole lot. But I tell you what, I use the far out of it. You say, well, it don't say much and it's covered up. You don't, well, I tell you what you do. You lock that elbow down and get you a bite. Let me see you go and get after that spoon. Put a spoon in your hand. Don't move it. I want to see you get a bite. Bless God, you'll starve to death. And so, even the least little members are very important. Let me tell you tonight at Liberty Baptist Church, you're very important. Your place, when you're not here, sets empty. It don't go unnoticed, and you are very important in the family of God. You know something, we think a lot of times about who's got the most important job. Who's got the most important position? Let me ask you something. It's not those folks out there in Glimmer that are most important. It's the mamas that cooks the meal, that raise children. It's the daddies that has the job and works and provides for the bills. They're the people raising young'uns that serve God, that fill their place in the house of God, has the most prominent position tonight. It's not the movie star crowd. It's not Hollywood. No, no, no. I'm going to tell you tonight, we're very important in the family of Christ. So, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. In other words, he said, everybody is just not made up to do the same thing. You ever heard anybody say, well, now, you know, you ought to do this and you ought to do that because that's my convictions? But let me tell you something. My convictions are necessarily not your conviction. I mean, some of y'all can ride a Harley and dip Copenhagen and God, the Holy Ghost don't bother you. But now I'm going to tell you something. If I get to heaven and find out I could dip Copenhagen, I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be upset, preacher. My convictions ain't your convictions. And you know, it's somehow we want to put everybody in our little box. If you don't do the way we do, man, you ain't doing it. But you know, it really don't matter what we say, it's what He's done said about the matter. Because He said, so we being many are one body in Christ and everyone members one of another. He said, we don't all have the same office. In verse 6, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. Now, when God saved you, He gave you a gift. Everybody has a predominant gift in their makeup and their profile that God gave you. Matter of fact, you were born with some of those traits and some of those gifts. And then when you get saved and the Holy Ghost moves in you, He bestows a prominent gift in your life of how that you can be a light effectively for Christ. Some of you, we notice going through here some of these gifts, and certainly this is just a few, but He lists them and He says in verse number 6, there are gifts different according to the grace that's given. Well, the prophecy. Now, a lot of preachers, man, they've got that gift of telling about events that are coming to pass, and I'll be honest with you, them four-headed monsters and them nine eyes in Revelation just don't do nothing for me. I know I ain't going to be here, and I'm checking out of here at the voice. And so I'm just in a different gear. But thank God for some men that know something about prophecy. Then He says, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, that service. Let us wait on our ministry. And everybody in this house tonight can do something to minister. Everybody here, God has given you a gift inside of you to be a blessing or to touch or impact the body of Christ. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth. A lot of times people are great encouragers. Thank God. Brother Dennis is one of the best exhorters of our church. He'll stand up and Brother Dennis can encourage me just like that. I mean, thank God. Isn't it amazing how God will fit the puzzle together and give you everything that you need? And then we see that He goes on and He says these gifts differ in the ministry and teaching or exhorteth on exhortation. And then he that giveth, a lot of you, I mean, you just have an open hand. God's given you a gift to give, and I mean, you don't really care if it comes back or not. You just love giving for the glory. And I'm going to tell you, we got a lot of givers at Liberty Baptist Church. We got a pile of givers at Liberty. But thank God for givers. And let Him do it with simplicity. And I think that's one of the key elements of ministry tonight. Just do what God's told you to do and be who God has made you to be. And do it simplicity. Man, I read a lot of books and try to help young preachers. And I can't find any books on just having simplicity, being filled with the Holy Ghost, and let God use you the way that He wants to use you. Everybody I see says, have a tie on. Don't raise your voice. Don't get out of the pulpit. Whatever you do, don't take your jacket off. I mean, it is amazing, but God wants us to simplify this thing and just enjoy Him and serve Him tonight in this thing of ministry. I want to ask you, what are you doing to minister at our church? As we look around tonight, and I wish you'd really get involved in this, what I'm fixing to say. I had three families call me tonight. Let me know where they were. Well, you ought to look around tonight and take note. We got a house full on Sunday morning. And you just ought to call and encourage people. Well, we'd love to have you Wednesday night. We missed you Sunday night. You know, it don't take much for you to get off your backside and just use a telephone. Don't take much for you to get off your backside and write a card. Amen. Preacher can't do it all. It ain't enough preacher to go around. Somebody needs to hear that they're loved beside the preachers hunting them at church. And so we're in this thing together. Amen. Shake that mule head tonight. We want to do our part. And so God wants us to minister, and God wants us to operate in what He's given us to operate in. A lot of you are great encouragers. A lot of you come up and say things to me that mean a lot to me. And you ought to stay and just keep doing and keep things simple. I believe a lot of times we get way too educated and we program God out of our services. So we ought to stay simple. And he that ruleth with diligence, thank God for organization. Thank God for people that can organize. And he that showeth mercy, I'm glad we've got some of them. My wife's eat up with it. Not near as much as she used to be 20 years ago. She's been helping pastor now a long time. Hate to make your face sad, but she's been helping pastor a long time. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be in a lot of trouble tonight if I'd listened to her more than what I do. Oh, me. Shake that mew head tonight. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Boy, we ought to be cheerful. Some of you look so sad tonight. My Lord in heaven. We ought to have a smile. Why in the world would somebody want what we got if we look like we lost our best friend? God wants us to be happy people, joyful people. Let me tell you, you ain't got to have things to be joyful. You don't have to let everything be going great to have a smile on your face. God's in control. Would you hear your pastor tonight? God's in control. God's doing things in our lives, and God's done one ahead of us, and we'll never get to a place that He ain't been at. When we get there tomorrow, He has done over there yesterday or several years ago. And so nothing takes God by accident. And we ought to be a happy people. We ought to be appreciative people. But boy, ain't it easy to get down in the dumps and get mealy mouth. But oh, folks, God has been so good to me. And I want to praise Him tonight and thank Him for helping me. And then he says, talking about that mercy with cheerfulness. You know, if you invite somebody to say, well, you ought to come to church sometime with us. Y'all go to church? Y'all go to church? We ought to believe in what we got. We ought to believe in who we are and who we're following tonight. Then verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation or without hypocrisy. And abhor that which is evil. Get away from it. Run. But cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor. And here's where I want to preach from tonight. This one little word, preferring one another. Started a little topic last Wednesday night on daily living. What could I cover as your pastor on Wednesday night to help me and you in our daily walk of life? Last Wednesday night we dealt with that of daily living by praying. We talked about supplications. It means a prayer out of need or out of a lack of need for existence. And then he talked about prayers. It means a prayer addressed to God in worship and adoration. Then he used the word intercession. It means a falling in with and a praying for. Is there anyone benefiting from your praying this week? Wonder today when you prayed, have you benefited anybody for praying today? And then lastly, that giving of thanks. Prayers denoted in adoration, but here it means appreciation. We ought to thank God for what He's done for. And so I am convinced tonight when we get to heaven, we'll thank Him for about 4 million years for what He done that we never did know what He done. But we'll know it then. You know, a lot of times a bad thing happens and we just shake our head and say, God, why in the world did You let that happen? It was probably the biggest blessing and we just ain't got in on it yet. So tonight, this daily living of preferring. Notice that little word, if you would, in Romans 12 now. We'll try to be brief. And I said we'd try to be brief. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brother love and honor, preferring one another. I want to look at three things in verses 9 through verses number 21. I want to look first of all at the denoting of Scripture. Secondly, the denial of self. Thirdly, the demonstration of service. Now, notice if you would in verse number 9, the denoting of Scripture. We see directions reviewed. Let love. Well, sounds like to me we've got an option whether we're going to let it or not. Let love. Let me know there's an option for something else to come out. What else could come out, preacher? Oh, there's a lot could come out beside love. Envy and hate and animosity and jealousy. But certainly this denoting of Scripture, we see directions reviews. Let love. You see, this thing of love is you must let it have the right of way in your life. And then we see this directions reviewed, but then secondly we see a devotion rendered. Devotion rendered. He said, without dissimulation, or that word is hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy, it means to project an image. Simply means to pretend something that you are not, or play acting. So he says, be careful to just not let love come out of your mouth. Don't be an actor that you love. Don't be a hypocrite. Everybody's talking about, well, I don't want to go to church because of the hypocrite. No, they just don't want to go to church. But certainly, if we're not careful, we will just simply have words. But Paul is writing, and he says, there's not only a direction reviewed, let, but he said there's a devotion rendered. He said, I want you to be so devoted to love that there's no hypocrisy in it. I wonder how many times you've told people here that you love them and you don't mean it worth a flip. I love you. You lied like a dog. I liked your preaching, but you lied. Discipline required. Let us have a genuine break with evil and a real devotion to good. Look what he said. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Discipline required. Let us have a genuine break with evil and a real devotion to good. I can tell you, a good way to know if you got saved or not, have you had a genuine break from evil and a hold on to that which is good? He said, abhor it. Run from it. Get away from it. We see directions reviewed, devotion rendered, but discipline required. But then fourthly tonight, there's a definition reported in verse number 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Brotherly love. That's a little bit different. Paul uses the word love here. Now in our Bible, there's three times that love is mentioned. There's three words used to translate this thing of love. One word is eros. It's an erotic love, a sensual love that this whole world is being depraved with. Boy, sex sells, don't it? Never seen so many naked women everywhere you look. Sex sells, don't it? Eros, erotic love, the only love that this old wicked world knows about. And then the second word is philos. Means brotherly affection. It was common in families everywhere. Most of us have some philos love. In other words, we have a love for our family. But here, Paul is using a word love that means agape. It's the highest love mentioned in the Bible. It's only the love that the Holy Ghost can put in our heart tonight. He says that this agape, it was totally given by the Lord. In Romans 5 and verse number 5, let's look at this love tonight. Now, after you've got saved, you've experienced a love that you never had. I remember old Brother John, the morning he got saved. Praise God, he is a hugging and a rugging. Everybody he could see is just a hugging them. You know, I'll call him now and I'll check on him, and he says something he's never ever said before he hangs up. I love you. That man was junkyard dog mean. He never told me he loved me. What about some of you boys? You ain't never hugged another man and told him you love. What happened to you? You crazy? Agape love. You've experienced a love that only the Holy Ghost can put in your heart. Romans 5. He said in verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We're going to deal with that one Wednesday night. Be sure to miss that. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And here it is. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because, here's this little word, agape. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. We knew nothing about agape love until we got saved and the Holy Ghost put it in our hearts. We see this definition reported, brotherly love. I'm glad I got brotherly love in my heart tonight. In John 13, in verse number 34, I want you to notice this about this agape love. It's mentioned here again. In John 13, in verse number 33, I don't understand why all churches don't hug and run and cry and love on each other. These revivals I have to get to going. Very few places I see is hugging people. Why is people so stiff and so starch-necked? Honey, some of the best services we'll ever have is one of them old snot-slanging, running, crying, loving service. What we need to get back to. Very few places I go ever see anybody neck-hugging. Genuinely loving. This is what Jesus said. He said, little children, yet a little while I am with ye. You shall seek me. As I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give you. Here it is, agape, that you love one another as I've loved you. Now, buddy, that's a mouthful. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one to another. He said, a new commandment I give unto you is agape love, that you love one another as I have loved you. Can I tell you, he hung and died on the cross. He gave everything he had to us. And he wants us to love one another just like that. Tonight, this definition reported of brotherly love. And then in 1 John 3 and 18, back in the back of your Bible for the book of Jude, 1 John 3 and verse number 18. Bible said, my little children, let us, here's this word, agape again. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, he said, put up or shut up. Put your money where your mouth is. You ever heard that? Definition reported, brotherly love. So, we see the denoting of Scripture. He tells us in the Bible that this thing of loving one another is scriptural and it's what we ought to be doing. He said you've got to let it. A lot of you never knew what love was. A lot of you had a mom and daddy that never showed you no kind of love. But ain't you glad that one day the Holy Ghost come by and picked you up and put you in His law, and He's been a loving on you ever since He saved you by His amazing grace. I never had a daddy tell me he loved me. I guessed I was a grown man. And I'm dead serious. A lot of people look at me and say, I can't imagine. Well, I just didn't. My daddy loved me. Believe that. He never did tell me. But you know, I wanted to hear it more than anything, Miss Sherry. I wanted to hear it. How many times just that statement would have made my day. You know something? It does us good to tell each other we love each other. The devil tells us enough. The devil will tell each one of you that you've cross-wired and hated and everybody's mad at you and your preacher hates you. Well, vice versa, he tells me you all hate me. And half probably do. But we ought to tell each other, not only should we tell, we ought to show each other that we love each other. So we see the denoting of Scripture. Then secondly, hurry along, I want you to look at the denial of self, this word preferring. Look what it says. Be kindly affectionate one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Boy, this is going to go down hard. I better get me another drink of water. Denial of self. I see some problems in my life. Probably some of you can understand tonight, but I have problems with the flesh. I just can't get this flesh saved. Paul had the same issue. And I want to say tonight, there's something that stands in the way of denying self. What stands in your way of you denying yourself? What stands in your way of preferring your brother and sisters in front of you and putting them in front of me tonight? I find out there's one thing called flesh. Oh, flesh is rotten, isn't it? Boy, you don't think it's rotten. You just take you about four laps around this building out here about 3 o'clock this evening. But you'll see just how rotten we all are. Problem with the flesh, Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Verse number 13. He said, for brethren, we've been called unto liberty. Well, I'm glad I'm here. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I don't like that verse. Especially if you got neighbors like my neighbors. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Well, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So anytime I've got a flesh problem, the Bible just give me the answer. It's a spiritual problem. I'm not where I need to be with God. The Holy Ghost is not in my life the way that He wants to be in my life. So when I've got a flesh problem, I've got to build up the spiritual man more than the carnal man. So He says this, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now listen, it's going to raise its head up. I don't care how full of God you get. It's going to raise its head off, but you do not have to succumb to the flesh. Here it is. For the flesh, lust is against the Spirit. It's in war. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are revealed, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's lust, impurities, idolatry. A lot more idolatry. Man, we harp and re-rage on adultery and fornication, and we ought to. We don't say much about adultery. There's a lot of bass boats that's idols. There's a lot of shopping malls that's idols. Idols, anything, keep you out of the house of God. keep you from worshiping God. A lot of young'uns are idols, and you better be careful about your idols. God is jealous, and He don't like no idols around His young'uns. Witchcraft. Talking about things of the flesh. Now here it is. Hatred. Variance. That's debates. Emulations. That's magic. And emulations is envy. Wrath is fear. Strife is contentions. Seditions is divisions. And heresies, it's disunion. But envyings and murders and drunkenness and revealings and such like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now you write this down. I don't care what grandma and grandpa told you. If you live in that lifestyle, or if your loved ones is living that lifestyle, they've never been saved. Because they ain't going to heaven. Now watch this. And he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? There it is. First and foremost, love. So if you're filled with the Spirit, it's not so hard to give Him right away of letting love in. Letting love be. But the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy. Well, preacher, I'm so sad and I'm broken. You know why? You ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. It'll give you joy, friend. Peace. Man, are you just tore out? I just tore up about everything. You need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. He'll give you peace. Long suffering. That's tolerance. You just short-fused and bless everything out that walks around you. Did y'all go home? I ain't heard a peep. I mean, I ain't heard nothing yet. Gentleness. Goodness and faith. Meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Denial of self. What's keeping you from putting others ahead of you? What about flesh? Then I want to say secondly, what about the fiddle? What about the fiddle? Any of you ever played second fiddle? You know, a lot of times, second fiddle isn't fun, is it? You know, this thing of denial of self, we ought to be willing to let other men have the credit. We ought to be willing to let other people have the credit. How many times at your workplace have you seen somebody trying to push ahead? I mean, they'll run over you to get that little promotion. I mean, they'll backstab you. They'll do anything in the world to run ahead of you. You know what? They got a problem with second fiddle. What we ought to do is just recognize what God wants us to be and be that for God. I wrote down a quote tonight that a man said about having a little place, having maybe a little position, maybe having a job that don't amount to much. This is what he said. Our little place in life may be made a big place if we fill our little place in a big way. In other words, do everything you can do for the glory of God. Be what God wants you and me to be. And don't worry about nothing else. Denial of self, the flesh, and the second fiddle. Luke 22:14. Disciples had a problem with that. Luke 22:14. I want to say this tonight. Everybody can't preach at once. Everybody can't sing at once. If you're not careful, you'll get your feelings hurt because you think that maybe you've been offended. I've always noticed this. Well, this helped me when I seen this after I got over the hurt. The only time I've ever been offended is when I thought too much of myself. I've never been offended unless I thought too much of myself. Somebody ought to called on me to do this. They ought to done that. I got my feelings a little hurt. Well, you know why, Brother Tim?
too high on myself. Problem of the fiddle. Well, why didn't they call me to do the job? I don't know. Might just been an oversight. Maybe God didn't want you to do it. Luke 22:14, watch this, I love it. And when the hour was come, he sat down the 12 apostles with him. He said to them, "What desire, desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof till it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." He took the cup, gave thanks, said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine till the kingdom of God shall come." Then he says this, he took the bread, gave thanks. And he said, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise the cup also." Verse 21, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that shall do this thing. And there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. They're sitting around. They said, "Hey, boys. Who's the top dog here? Who's Daddy Rabbit?" And so Jesus had an answer for him. He said, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief is he that doeth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth." You know, a lot of times we think that getting ahead or the man with the most toys wins. Jesus' math, his formula is a whole lot different than what this world is. Jesus said, if you want to be first, then be last. I had a young man one time. I probably told this a while back, but Lord, I've seen this happen. You ever seen anybody break line in front of you? I done it the other night, and I felt so humiliated. I felt like a dummy. We was at the top of the river eating, and we come out of a side room. I seen the line out there, but, you know, they got three ladies there at the cash register, and there's one just sitting there looking at me just like what the rest of this young world looks like, nothing to do. So I walked outside the room. I just walked up to her and paid for my supper and walked out. And they said, "I never seen you so rude in all my life." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Ken, you run ahead of all them people." Cutting ahead. Man, I got to look into them people way down that hall in line. You know, I didn't come by them. I just stepped out in the room right in front of the register. I just thought, well, there's there to wait on me. But I went to see something happen one day. And this is sad. This is awful. I didn't hate to use this analogy tonight, but I did see it happen, Brother Phil. This happened. We took customers to Talladega on that race day. This letting us all get in a race car, and we'd all been in class and got suited up. And I was sitting there with my helmet. So, you know, they have cars set up for little guys and medium guys and big guys. So I had to wait for my car to come around, set up for these portly guys. Well, about this time, this big old boy, he put his hand on my shoulder. Man, he took a leap to the gate. He said, "I'm next." Well, here's a customer. I just sat back. I said, "Go ahead, buddy. I ain't say nothing, you know." He got killed in turn two. That's what breaking ahead will get you. It ain't what you think. You know, a lot of times we think it's hard to prefer somebody before us. Especially when we feel like we know more than they do. problem of the flesh, problem of the fiddle, and then problem of flattery. Any of y'all ever like people to flatterize you? Is that a word, flatterize? It's 8:30. You don't care what I say as long as I get done, do you? I mean, really, you ever had anybody brag on you and you puffed you up and you liked it pretty good? Why, sure you have. So I think some reasons that it's hard for us to deny ourselves and prefer our brothers and sisters is flesh and the second fiddle and then flattery. Matthew 23, verse number 1, flattery. Matthew 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude of the disciples, saying, the scribes, the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whosoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. Flattery. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father. I wish the Catholic Church would get a hold of that verse. That's what Jesus said. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. That old flattery, that pat on the back. You know, here's a phrase that I thought was worth mentioning. There is no limit to the good that a man can do if he doesn't care who gets the credit. There's no limit to the good that a man can do if he does not care who gets the credit. In other words, we don't have to have the limelight. Nobody has to brag and make a fuss about us all the time. The problem with our head, a lot of time it's way too big. And God loves to deflate our head. Boy, I'll never forget, I was preaching one night over here in the country, and boy, I'd done been in some more church. I was a flaming evangelist, but I was fixing to win the whole town of Bowden to Jesus. I mean, there just wasn't nobody preaching like me. I mean, I wasn't about mid-20s, buddy. I'm telling you, I was the best young preacher in these woods. If you didn't believe me, ask me. Brother Jerry, one night, I never will forget, I got up, and God said, okay, flaming evangelist, have it. It's all yours. So, Lord, I don't want that no more. He has a tendency to let your head let the air out. Boy, he'll humiliate the far out of you. I told y'all about the lady, as God was dealing with me about my Copenhagen over in Alabama, First Church of Pastor. We had a deacon's wife over. She's as tall as that window looked like. I mean, she is tall, boy. I got Miss Renee one of them town cars. She pulled up. Man, everybody was there's a kid. Now the preacher's got a town car. He's a big city preacher now. Man, he's got it going on. And so she sat down in there, and I will forget. She like never got all them legs in the floorboard. I mean, she like a can opener folding up to get anything. And she said, honey, look how good I would look driving. Oh. Had that can of Coke. I thought I had it hid. Had it down there in my console. She picked that thing up, and she didn't say it in the car. That big tall thing got out of that car. She said, well, look here. Said, I done found the preacher's frog. I preached on one more night with the frogs. Man, that Copenhagen can looked big as a basketball. I could have slid on that car tire.
Boy, I'm going to tell you, he will embarrass the far out of you. He'll let your song go flat. He'll let your sermon go flat. Because you know why? He wants all the honor and all the glory out of everything. I'm convinced the reason we're not no more blessed than what we are, because we can't handle the blessing. Problem with flattery. And then we have a problem with failure. Nobody likes to be last. But you know, God's arithmetic is most of the time when you feel like you're doing nothing, He's doing the most through you. And when you think you're doing everything, you're just spinning your wheels in the mud, you ain't doing nothing. I found out in years of preaching and ministry, folks, that when you feel the worthless and the useless, God's using you the most. Man, when you're on cloud nine, you think you're getting something done, you ain't doing nothing. And I'm going to tell you something. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm made strong. Oh, tonight, failure's not final. Failure's not necessarily the worst thing in the world to fail. Denoting of Scripture. Denial of self. Are you denying yourself? Are you preferring your brother and sisters ahead of you? What about folks at your job? I mean, when they break ahead, do you simply just step back? I mean, sure, I know you're supposed to stand your ground and stand for what's right, and you should provide for your family. But let me tell you something. This cutthroat world out there, God's got a system that works. If you'll mind God and do that which's right, He'll promote you where He wants you to be. Then lastly, denoting of Scripture, denial of self. Then demonstration of service. Back in that text of the book of Romans, chapter 12, a demonstration of service. In verse number 11, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God wants us to be cold or hot, folks. Not lukewarm. The church of Laodicea are lukewarm people. God's telling us we ought not be slothful in business. He's pertaining to God's business here. But it is a principle in the workforce as well. Serving the Lord, fervent in spirit, hot, on fire. We ought to be on fire for Jesus. Man, we ought not walk into a church like this and just say, well, what time we get out? We'll do our part, folks. We got people Sunday morning in here lost. Going to step out to eternity without the Lord Jesus. We ought to be praying for them people.